Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Netflix Life, a streaming TV podcast from FanSided. I'm your host, Cody Schultz, and today I'm joined by my frequent, I want to say almost co-host at this point, host of the CW Spiral and Netflix Life editor, Reed Cowdens. Reed, welcome back.
I'm happy to be here for the last episode of the year.
I know, and we've got a pretty big and exciting month coming this December. There's a lot of good shows coming, a lot that we're very excited to talk about. I know a few of our favorites are back in December, and I'm very, very eager to dive in and talk about some of the ones that we're recommending everyone check out this December, because there's some really good ones to tap off the end of the year.
Some big ones.
Yeah, so before we get into our list of the eight must-see titles, we'll do a quick recap of every Netflix show and movie coming in December 2022. So if you're looking for something new, here are some shows you can check out. We've got Firefly Lane Season 2 Part 1, My Unorthodox Life Season 2, Too Hot to Handle Season 4, Dream Home Makeover Season 4, Dance Monster Season 1, Paradise PD Part 4, The Recruit Season 1, Emily in Paris Season 3, Alice in Borderland Season 2, The Witcher Blood Origin Season 1, Treason Season 1, The Circle Season 5, Chicago Party Ant Part 2, Who Killed Santa? A Murderville Mystery, My Next Guest with David Letterman, Lady Chatterley's Lover, Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, Pinocchio, Bardo, False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths, Glass Onion, a Knives Out Mystery, Matilda the Musical, and White Noise. Now, as a reminder, these are just the Netflix movies and shows coming in December. There are also a handful of comedy specials, documentaries, and Netflix family editions that are, as well as some acquired titles, but those are the new Netflix originals coming. Reed, there's a lot of really great ones coming in December. I know there's a few we're definitely more excited about than some of the others. No shade intended for those ones, but I know a few of our favorites are coming back in December. So before we get into our full discussion, would you like to break down our can't miss titles of December?
Yeah, let's do it. So here are the ones that you just can't miss. Firefly Lane Season 2 Part 1, Too Hot to Handle Season 4, The Recruit Season 1, Emily in Paris Season 3, Treason Season 1, Circle Season 5, Pinocchio, and Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery.
All right, I'm trying to figure out which show we should start with, because there's definitely a few. I feel like let's start with Firefly Lane, because I know that's one that you're really looking forward to this month. I still keep forgetting that they're breaking this one down into two parts for some reason. I don't know why, because Netflix has kind of groomed us into expecting some of these batches with some of their big shows lately, but for some reason I keep forgetting this is one that they're doing a split season.
It's an odd split, and it kind of made sense when they announced it, why it took so long for filming and why it took so long to get here, because it's a 16 episode season, but they're splitting it not down the middle. It's 9 in December and then 7 some other time in 2023. I kind of wish they would have just done 8 and 8 and called it seasons 2 and 3, and we would have had a trilogy, but you know, you can't be picky. At least we got anything.
Yeah, it's interesting with some of these ones, because I feel like I have the same stance with like Manifest. I don't know why they didn't call it season 4 and season 5 and do 10 and 10. Because these are like 8 and 10 episodes. Those are standard like Netflix order. So they could have easily made it seem like they ordered additional seasons. I always wonder if it's because of like legalities, like if they build it as two separate seasons, if it would complicate like the cast deals, and that's why they have to do it as like one long season but in parts.
Interesting. I did not even think about that. That could be it.
that's really the only thing I can think of, because otherwise they could easily bill some of these as like multiple seasons and hype up the fans of like, well, hey, you got three seasons of this show instead of one season and two part season.
It just gets so confusing when everything's like part one, part two, and like, I know a lot of people can't relate to this, but like for SEO, it's like really annoying to have to put part one, part two and everything and like not know what to call anything.
Yeah, and I feel like some shows are better split. Some it's just like it's easier just to sit down and watch the full season at once. And some of the splits have definitely been interesting with some of these recent ones. I mean, we saw it with Stranger Things. They did the 7 and 2, which, granted, the last two episodes alone were like 2.5 hours combined. But it still, like, is weird to see them splitting with, like, these non-traditional half-and-half kind of numbers like we've seen them do in the past. Like, 9 and 7, you could have easily done, like you said, 8 and 8. And so it's definitely interesting. But one thing, too, to mention with Firefly Lane is season 2 is its final season, correct?
Yes, it is. That's another thing that I'm like, just make it 2.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me when a show ends with, like, 2 seasons. Because I'm so used to seeing shows go on, like, so long. But on the flip side, it's nice when a show gets, like, some kind of conclusion.
Yeah, I know there are 2 books that it's based on, so maybe that plays into it a little bit. But yeah, this season's going to be really good for fans. I'm a new fan. Like, I meant to watch it when it came out in 2021. I just never didn't get around to it. But I'm glad that I did catch up, because it's such a fun show to binge, even though it can get kind of... there's heavier themes. And the way that I would pitch it, I know I pitched it to you like this, Cody, because I know your tastes and I know what would intrigue you. It reminds me of, like, Sweet Magnolias, that, like, strong female friendship theme. And then also This Is Us, with, like, the generation hopping and flashbacks, and you're, like, piecing together, like, oh, why are these characters like this? What influenced and sort of built who they become? And in the final season, it comes together even better than in season 1. And the performances, like, Katherine Heigl is so good. I know you like her from Grey's. I don't know if you actually like her, but I know that you like Grey's, so you're familiar with her work. But she is so good in this role. And season 2 is a really, really big season. And I hope more new viewers check it out like I did, because it's sort of like, I know it's a little bit popular. It has a following, but it seems like a hidden gem that flies under the radar.
Yeah, I do like Katherine Heigl. It started, of course, with Grey's, but then I followed with some of, like, the rom-coms she did after she left Grey's. And of course, she was great in Suits too, the final 2 seasons of that, which
was
definitely different. Yeah, I love Suits, and I loved her character so much. It was such a fun character. That's what made saying goodbye to the show when it ended, because they just brought in hers, and then Dulé Hill came in and played a different character, and, like, they brought in 2 more really fun characters. Like, oh, I don't want to see the show end now, because I want more of these characters. But yeah, this was one I honestly meant to watch it when it debuted, but then it kind of slipped through the cracks for me too. And now I'm like, do I wait until part 2 of the final season arrives, or do I dive in?
I don't know. I mean, I know I watched season 1 right into season 2, and even though it kind of blurred together, it's a really rewarding binge watch, because it's like you get that immediate satisfaction. But yeah, I would suggest anybody, like, whether you binge it before part 2 comes out or before part 1, or I don't know. I just think it's a really great show that more people should be watching.
Yeah. Well, speaking of great shows more people should be watching, I feel like we can just pivot right into our girl Emily, which I know is one that we're both very excited for. Season 3, of course, comes December 21st, which is giving it that pre-Christmas drop again, which I like that Netflix is kind of consistent with its release, and that we kind of keep getting the seasons around, like, December, right before the holidays. And I feel like it's a perfect watch. Not that it's, like, Christmas themed or anything like that. It definitely doesn't give you, like, Christmas vibes necessarily. It's just one of those fun, like, light shows that you can watch and just really enjoy doing a binge of during the holidays.
I wish they would do a Christmas episode or a Christmas movie. That'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the perfect backdrop. I mean, Christmas in Paris would be a really, really nice setting.
I mean, even if I'm giving away too many ideas. I always do this on podcasts, but, like, not even just an episode. Give us a whole Emily in Paris Christmas movie.
That would be, I wish they would do that more often. Like, they have these franchises, like, do a spin-off, like, do some movies, because we've seen, like, Hallmark does it. They do, I mean, they had, like, their Good Witch series and When Calls the Heart, and they would do, like, the actual seasons. But then around the holidays, they would do, Good Witch, of course, did a Halloween movie, and then When Calls the Heart would do, like, a 2-hour Christmas movie special kind of thing. And it kind of was connected to the seasons, but it was almost like a standalone of just, like, a fun little story that was set around the holidays. And they're really fun, and I wish Netflix would do that with some of their properties, because there's so many that the timing never seems to align around the holidays. Like, like Virgin River, time moves so slow there that I don't know that we'll ever see December reach that town. And it just would be nice to see like some of these shows get like some kind of holiday thing, because when you think of broadcast TV, there's so many shows that are known for their iconic holiday episodes, but Netflix doesn't usually get the chance to do that because of just usually the pacing and how their seasons are presented.
Mm-hmm. The last Netflix show that I can think of that had a Christmas episode was Blockbuster. That was the season finale. It was Christmas. And I don't know how many people, was it Christmas or was it New Year's Eve? They definitely celebrated Christmas in Blockbuster. But not many Netflix shows do that. And I know we grew up in an era where there were like random TV movies for TV. Like, do you remember when Sabrina the Teenage Witch, she like went down under? I think she went to like Australia. That was like a standalone movie that was never like canon in the show, I don't think. And there was another one that I can't remember for Sabrina. Did she go to Italy? I don't know. Maybe. Neither here nor there. But I think they should do it for Emily. Like, we haven't met her family. What if she went home for Christmas or they came to Paris? I mean, it's right there.
Yeah, it's definitely one I'd love to see it. But looking at season three, we just got our full official trailer. And it looks so good. I have to say,
it looks like the best one yet.
It really does. Like, this one, you can tell they're definitely getting ready to lean heavy into that love triangle, which I know we're both on the opposite ends of the spectrum there.
I need it to happen. Her and Gabrielle, I need it to happen. They've been, I know that's the end game, right? Like, that has to be the end game, but like, they can't keep like teasing us with it. We need to get a better taste of it than we have yet. And it seems like we might. Like, he like drunkenly tells her that she changed his life. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's so hard when you see, because yeah, it's, I love the character Alfie. And so, but you kind of know with a show like this that they're not endgame. Like, I would be shocked if they made them endgame. I feel like it's just something you see so often with TV shows, is they bring in somebody, they're together for a while, but then they ultimately end up with the person that they introduced in season one that you kind of knew they were always going to eventually get with. So it's kind of like you're just watching a train wreck, like waiting to happen. It's like, you know, it's not going to end well. It's just a matter of when will it end and what would that mean for the character? Selfishly, I don't want it to end in season three because I want Alfie back for season four. But I guess we'll see. But I think what I just really liked most is, I know there was just something about the trailer that really just kind of reminded me more of season one, and like the way Emily's going to be juggling like these two sides because she hasn't picked where she's landing like officially yet, and kind of just getting back into that. I enjoyed season two, but not as much as season one in some aspects. Like, there were some things that I guess I should say I don't like the friend, what's her name? The champagne girl.
Wait, the French one?
Not Emily's, not her roommate, no. One that Gabriel's with.
Camille, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of her, and we got too much season two for me.
I know, I don't want to blame her, but like, she ruined everything.
Yeah.
Love her to death. Great actress. Intriguing character, but it was a mess.
Even her revenge story, like, I thought was going to be better. Like, I don't know. It was just something. The letter scene, though, did make me laugh. I remember that completely.
I mean, she could still get her revenge this season, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It does look like we're going to get more of Kate Walsh, too, this season, which is exciting. Yeah. Because I love Kate Walsh, of course, the Grey's Anatomy tie, but she's just amazing in everything she does. And it looks like we're going to finally get to see more of Madeline this season.
And I think she'll have the baby, which Virgin River takes some notes.
Yeah. But definitely, I think Emily in Paris is going to be a big one to watch this December. And definitely a fun one to watch. And the nice thing, too, is if you haven't watched Emily in Paris yet, it's a comedy, so its episodes are shorter, which makes it very easy to binge. And it's such an easy binge watch because it's just such a fun show.
Yeah, you can power through season one and two in like a weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I probably will be doing before season three.
I know, it's like I always need like some refresh. It's funny, like I retain so much with like Emily in Paris. There's other shows that like I forget things, but with this one, I guess it shows how much I really do like love it, even if I don't always admit it like subconsciously, because I can remember so many more plot lines in this show than I can remember some other shows that I've watched this year, where I had to kind of like go back and be like, wait, what happened? And granted, it might just be that it does release. We haven't had a big break between its seasons yet, so maybe that does help. But it's just such a fun show. I'm really excited to see it come back. And I'm starting to get a little anxious. I hope we don't get like news that season four will be its last. I hope it goes on beyond season four.
I will be devastated.
I know. It always makes me anxious when we do like the multi-season renewals, because we've seen that happen where like a show will be renewed for two seasons, and then they don't say anything. And then all of a sudden when they start promoting like the second season of The Order, we get like a bombshell that, oh, this was it. And I'm like, I don't want the show to end with four seasons. It could easily go on beyond that.
Yeah, it's definitely scary. I hope at the very least they get season five, because I think it deserves that much. I mean, they can keep it going. I've said before, he kept younger going, Darren Star, for seven seasons, and that was a love triangle that lasted for an entire series. So I think they can do it with Emily.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So fingers crossed, it is nice knowing there is another season coming, so we won't have to be in the waiting game after the season ends of if it has like a big cliffhanger again of being like, oh, is it going to get renewed, and kind of waiting. That's kind of the nice thing going into this season. Speaking of shows that are new, though, and are going to be limited, I think one that I'm excited for is Treason, which is... it's billed as a limited series, so we'll see what that means, because limited series is such a general term now of shows. Sometimes it means it's just one-off. It tells the beginning, middle, and end in one season. Others, they kind of come back for second and third season. So we'll see, but it comes December 26. This one, I have to say, I'm most excited just because it's got Charlie Cox, who I loved in Daredevil. I think he's such a great actor, and I'm really intrigued to see what they do with this show. For those who aren't aware of what Treason is, Charlie Cox stars as an MI6 agent named Adam Lawrence, whose career kind of seems set, but then his past catches up with him. And of course, this comes in the form of, like, I think a former flame, named Kara, who's a Russian spy. And so it's kind of that unwinding of these political intrigue and all that, which I love spy dramas and all that, you know, good stuff. I don't know how to best describe it. It's complicated when you get spies involved, because there's all the espionage and stuff that I can't necessarily describe like in detail, like some of those different things. But there's kind of that love triangle angle, it seems like, in there, because there's the relationships between Adam and then the Russian spy is named Kara, or maybe it's Kara. It's always hard with those ones when you don't know the character beforehand.
Yeah.
But honestly, I'm just going to watch because of Charlie Cox, and it'll be really interesting to see him back on Netflix after how Daredevil kind of ended poorly for him on there. Although it worked out in the end with Marvel, but not so well with Netflix.
I think Treason's a short one too, right?
It's only like, I want to say six episodes, maybe.
Yeah,
six,
that sounds right.
Six to eight, maybe. Which makes me, it does make me think that hopefully it does tell a complete story. Now watch, if I like watch it and then I want more seasons, I'll be having to walk back my comments, but yeah, I love a good limited
series.
Maybe they
make it like an anthology or something.
See, that's what I miss. We get like limited series And it's like, there's so many shows that could work so well as an anthology where you can keep the same show going, but bring in new characters and kind of keep it in the same. I think there's so many shows too that have tried to like build themselves as anthologies and then walked it back. Cause I know Scream Queens was very heavily touted as it's going to be an anthology show. We'll have like new characters each season. And then, Ryan Murphy,
the only thing they did was change the setting.
Exactly. It was so weird because what my biggest beef with Ryan Murphy at that point was he kept like saying like only four characters are going to live. So like every episode you're like, okay, wait, the body count's going to have to start rising. And then like everybody lives because he did a second season where they all came back and just suddenly were doctors in a hospital and just,
yeah, it made no sense. Problem is sometimes they're like, oh, fans really like this cast. I really like this cast. They're really good. We should keep them. And it's like, well, that's not always the case. Like, look at the White Lotus. Like, they kept one character from the first season, and they kept it an anthology pretty much because you don't have to watch season one to understand why that character's still there. Like, it's standalone. And I think that's a really good example of like a modern anthology, no matter what you think about the White Lotus. I know there's conflicting opinions on it, but it's a really good example of having like this general theme, this like title that can be anything, and then just like cycling through seasons, because at the end of the day, you could have brought the whole cast back, but it would have been not as good. And we don't really need anything more from those characters. So it makes sense to bring in a whole new cast for people to start liking those characters. And then the more seasons you keep bringing in more characters and more actors that people love, can't go wrong.
Yeah, and I think that just makes me remember, I feel like Netflix had the perfect anthology opportunity this year, and it's kind of gone quiet with The Woman in the...
I
always mess up the thing. The Woman in the House Across the Street. I never can say its title.
The Woman in the House Across the Street from The Girl in the Window.
Yeah,
you know, we talk about this one all the time.
It was when I first started it, I didn't know. I remember like watching the first episode. I'm like, I don't know what to make of this. And then as I continued watching it, it just became such, like, you had to know, like, it wasn't meant to be, like, it was kind of like a comedy spoof of, like, these different kind of movies and some of the different stuff, but it was such a fun watch. And then the ending, where they had, spoiler alert, Glenn Close appear on, like, the plane, I was, like, ready for the woman in the plane across the seat in the aisle, all this stuff. And it's been crickets, and I'm like, that would have been such a fun one where we keep the same character, Kristen Bell's character, and now she has like this new mystery to kind of put together and solve, and it just would have been such a fun one. So maybe they'll surprise us, and it'll be one of those shows that just comes back without any real announcement. Like suddenly they just start promoting a second season that we didn't even know was happening. But that one would have been a really fun anthology, I think.
Yeah, I hope they bring it back. That'd be fun.
And I guess just pivoting real quickly into another government agent series that's coming, and is The Recruit Season 1, which is based on a lawyer at the CIA who becomes embellished in the dangerous international power politics when a former asset threatens to expose the nature of her long-term relationship with the agency. This stars Noah Centineo, who, of course, was a Netflix favorite. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen him in a Netflix title, because there for a while, like, I felt like we were getting a new Noah Centineo rom-com on Netflix like every few months. I'm really interested in this one, A, because I do like Noah Centineo, but it's kind of different than what we've seen him do on Netflix, at least in the past. There is the comedy like we've seen with like the trailers and all that, but this is more of a dramatic show, and so it'll be interesting, and definitely an action show, not necessarily your like rom-com. I think there will be the romantic elements in there, but very more action forward with this one.
I kind of worry about the release date being so late in the year, because I know this could be like a big hit that people watch later on. It would have been nice for it to come out in like October, and then people would be able to keep discovering it throughout the holiday season. So I worry about it being buried so late in the year, but I think if anybody can pull it off, it's Noah. Like, people will tune in just for him. So it could, I think it'll be a big hit. But is this one, this is a show, right? It's not a limited series. I can never tell with some of the new shows what their intentions are.
So it's being billed, yeah, it's just as a show. So there does seem to be potential for a second season. It'll be interesting to see if this is one of those shows that like swing for the fences and ends with a big cliffhanger, or if it ends up being like a show that does kind of tie things up a little bit. And then if there is a second season, kind of has like the little the unresolved mysteries, but not necessarily like a big cliffhanger where you're like, oh man, I need a second season.
Yeah, maybe like The Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I feel like that was a perfect example. And I'm so glad that one got a second season because I love that show. I keep waiting. That'll be at the top of my watch list in 2023 when we get the next season.
Same.
But yeah, I think it'll be a good one. The release date is weird. Like, it's kind of right in the middle of the month. So I feel like even if they wanted to give it a good boost, they could have held it maybe even to the end of the month and done like the holiday weekend. Instead, I know they're dropping The Witcher Blood Origin right around Christmas Day, which makes sense. We've seen The Witcher has always kind of traditionally been a Christmas release. So keep that franchise kind of tie there going. I'm not a Witcher fan. I just struggle with fantasy in general. It's nothing against The Witcher. It's just that genre is one that I just struggle to get into as much as some of the other ones. But I think it'll have potential. I think what's going to be interesting to see is what, like, the fans who are used to seeing, like, Noah Centineo pop up on their Netflix feed, what their thoughts are going to be, because I feel like they're so often, they're used to, like, oh, they see his, you know, face on a poster, and they're like, oh, rom-com. And so they go and watch it, and this is definitely more action-heavy, so it'll be interesting to see if they stick around after, like, they put it on, and it's like, oh, this isn't, like, a rom-com, this is an actual show, and an action show, and he's playing a very different role than we've seen in the past.
This is like reverse Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner did Alias, which kind of reminds me of The Recruit, like CIA spy stuff, action. And then she went on to do a bunch of romantic comedies. And Noah like did a bunch of romantic comedies and is now doing a spy show. I think both paths could work for both of them. I never would have imagined when we started recording this that I would make a connection between Noah Centineo and Jennifer Garner. But here we are.
It's a perfect, like, they do, you see the parallels there between the two. Like you said, it really is, like, just reverse, like, the course. I hadn't even thought of that before you said it just now.
Neither did I.
But yeah, I think that'll be a fun one to watch. And then I'm also really excited for, there's some good reality shows, which I have to say, I'm very surprised. We got the announcement that Too Hot to Handle season 4 was coming, and I thought, this is it. I'm waiting until 2023 for the next season of The Circle, which is my favorite. And then, yeah, they snuck it in at the very end of the year. I know why they did it, because they like releasing their reality shows, it feels like, on Wednesdays. But I feel like this is one that they could have made almost like their New Year's Eve drop, because they usually tend to have like a New Year's Eve or New Year's Day drop. And it's coming December 28th. Now, with both Too Hot to Handle and The Circle, we're getting the new episodes weekly kind of batch. We don't know how they're dropping them just yet. Like, if it's going to be, I think we did 4-episode batches in the previous two seasons. And then, like, the finale dropped on its own, like, week. But I don't think they've confirmed how those two seasons are going to drop. But I love, The Circle is one of my favorites. It always gives me, like, Big Brother vibes in a way of just, like, the competition of, like, having to form alliances and kind of make those connections. This season, I will say, for those fellow fans, should be interesting, because they're billing this one as The Circle singles. So it seems like they're going to have everybody, you know, entering it won't be in a relationship. So I feel like that's going to create the vibe for more catfishing, which I love the catfishing. I always love, like, especially when you've got, like, the players playing, like, the opposite gender, like, trying to get in the head of their character on the show and, like, have to keep their story straight. I do hope that we see a change, though, to how they pick the winner, because I think as the show's going on, like, people have seen the show now, so they're getting more strategic, and I think it makes it harder for the players who are playing the best games to win at the end, just because people know, oh, I need to rank them lower in the final vote because they'll win otherwise. And I think I really hope they have a change, because I think some of the best players last season were 4th and 5th place, because everyone's like, oh, we have to rank them low because they'll be at the top of everyone's leaderboard. And so I really hope they change that format maybe this season. But either way, I know I'll be hooked and watching.
You've been waiting so long for this show to come back.
I have, because we did two cycles last year. They did season 2 and season 3. And we got one in like the spring. I think it was April of last year. And then we got the second in September. So they were kind of bookend spring and fall. And so when September rolled around and there was nothing, then October, November, I just, you know, lost hope that we were going to do the 2-cycle season. And with Too Hot to Handle coming, I really didn't think they'd put two of their bigger reality shows out the same month.
They're going to run right into each other.
Yeah, because I think Too Hot to Handle will wrap the week right before the Circle premieres. That or its finale could drop the same day of the Circle. We don't know the release schedule just yet. But it's, I almost wonder if it's because of the time of year. Like, they know so many other networks will just be airing holiday content that they're like, let's give people a reason to come and watch us weekly with some of these reality shows that they love, because it really will help fill the gap. Like, Too Hot to Handle is going to get out there before another cycle of, like, The Bachelor or anything from that franchise, so it won't be competing with anything on that. Of course, there's no seasons of, like, Big Brother or anything going on, so that won't be competing. And so it really is a smart strategy. And The Circle will go into January, I should say, because of the weekly drop. So It'll kind of bleed into the new year.
And the most recent season of Love is Blind was, like, the most popular yet, I feel like. So maybe they're like, oh, let's just get them all out now. Keep them on the reality TV hook.
Yeah. And I should mention with Too Hot to Handle, it's definitely one, it's more of a guilty pleasure show. Sometimes I question my decision when I watch that one just because the contestants.
Do you watch it?
I do watch it, yeah.
Okay. I can know.
I didn't enjoy it. I feel like, see, they dropped season three right after, it was just after, like, the most recent season of The Bachelor had ended. And I was on burnout mode at that point.
Yeah, you
I
were was fatigued. Like,
yeah, I was done with, like, bad reality show decisions on dating shows. I'm like, I just really did not enjoy the third season because of coming off of, like, a terrible season of The Bachelor. So I think it's smart that they're getting ahead of the game this time and not dropping a season in the spring. But having seen, like, the first episode of that one, I will say the cast is better. Like, I don't know, better feels like a weird way because there's some questionable decisions making going on. But they just seem more engaging, I guess is the right way. Like, they're not as annoying almost, I guess. It sounds mean to say season three's cast annoyed me, but
I mean, it's all fair.
Yeah, so that, I think it's a good combo for sure on the reality front. And it gives us something different because, I mean, we've talked about dramas coming. We've talked about comedies coming. Now we've got these two big reality shows coming. It really is a nice balanced month for December. And we haven't even gotten into the movie picks, which we've got Pinocchio comes December 9th. And then the one I know I think we're both excited for, which is Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. Still not a fan of the title, but that comes December 23rd. I don't know why they didn't call it Knives Out 2 or something like that.
I guess we'll find out when we watch it what the Glass Onion is and what it means.
Yeah, but that one, I mean, they've got a stacked cast for that. I mean, we've got Daniel Craig coming back. Then we've got Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe, Catherine Hahn, Leslie Odom, Jessica Henwick, Madeline Klein, of course, our girl from Outer Banks. We'll definitely be watching for her alone. Kate Hudson and then Dave Bautista. And so, I mean, they pulled off a big cast with it moving to, like, the Netflix deal. But, I mean, it worked because they did do the theatrical limited release on Thanksgiving. And it pulled in solid, you know, solid blockbuster weekend for them, which makes me think Netflix should probably consider doing that for some of their other big releases just to kind of recoup some money when they can.
I mean, yeah, the other streamers are doing it. Why not do, like, some of the bigger ones in theaters? And this was, like, I think this was the perfect test, too, because it has so much star power. Probably not as much, though, as, like, Red Notice and Adam Project. They probably, those were missed opportunity, they think. But I'm so excited for Knives Out 2. I was a late addition to the Knives Out universe. Like, I didn't see it right away. I saw it after the fact, and I loved it. And I think this cast is, like, even better. I mean, already, I love Kate Hudson. She's one of my favorite actresses. So to see her in something like this again, where she gets to be a little over the top and funny, I'm so excited. And Catherine Hahn, like, come on.
Yeah, it's I'm very excited for this one. I was also late to the game. It wasn't one I went and saw in theaters. I waited kind of till it released. And then I watched it, and it was so good. I think what I love so much about the first one is so many times with the mysteries, it can be easy to predict where they're going to go. And I feel like this one did a good job of balancing, like, plot twists and then, like, the actual reveal, which makes me excited to see, like, what kind of mystery they came up with for the second one. But it really is, like you said, the cast. I love Kate Hudson, too. She's so great. And I feel like this, her character, what we've seen in, like, the glimpses of the trailers and all that, seems like she's going to be a really fun character.
And I do think it's not even, I haven't even watched the trailer, not to interrupt you, but like that's how like on board I am. Like, I don't care what it's about. I don't even need to see a frame of it before I go into it. I know I'm watching this movie.
The trailer, it really is good. It does a good job of, so many trailers now, they ruin the movies, in my opinion. They give too much away.
They either give too much away or they don't show anything. And you're like, I just watched a series of random clips. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's so hard for some of these movie franchises now to find that perfect balance of building the intrigue without giving everything away. Sometimes Netflix does the same thing where they'll, like, after I watch a show back, I'm like, wait a minute, they revealed, like, the big scene. Like, I remember for Lucifer, for its final season, like, they revealed, like, so many big plot points in the trailer. And, of course, you don't know that when you're watching it without context. But then when you watch it back, it's like, wait a minute, why did they reveal that in the trailer when you're, like, watching the actual show? But the trailers, they've been really good at not giving, like, I still don't know where the end game will go, but I'm very intrigued. And the characters, like, from what we've met of them, these little snippets, it seems like such a fun group of characters they pulled together. And of course, the cast they pulled together for this one's going to be amazing. So you know they're just going to knock it out of the park. And I'm excited because we already know there's going to be another film in the works as part of this deal. We don't know any details about like what that, but I believe the running through will just be like Daniel Craig's detective returning in each one.
They should do a Christmas movie.
I guess that could change.
I just desperately want everything to be Christmas movies. Knives Out 3 for Christmas. Let's do it.
But yeah, I also, just with the box office thing too, I think what's going to be really interesting to see is how well received, like when you get like the Netflix viewership numbers, like how many people actually watch it on Netflix. Because I know there seems to be sometimes a fear with some of these when it's like original movies to do the box office. It's like, well, then will it hurt its streaming numbers? But with this one, I feel like because it was such a limited run, like there was no, I would have to drive to like a movie theater like 30 minutes out and sorry, I want to see this movie, but not that bad.
And yeah, so I think feel like people, it was, even if someone did see it in theaters, though, this movie has so much rewatch value because it's a mystery. Like there's some really, mm-hmm. like, you watch it and you're like, oh, maybe I'll watch it again in like 3 years or something. But as a mystery, like you want to see, like after you see the whole thing, you want to go back and be like, okay, what did I miss? What did I not pick up on? And I think there's a difference between seeing a movie in theaters and also watching it in your own space and having that accessibility. And I think this is a really good guinea pig to test out the like, okay, what are people willing to watch and where?
Yeah. And I have to say, I'm actually surprised. I haven't seen spoilers for this one. Like the people who did see it in theaters haven't spoiled things, which has kind of been nice because I feel like so many times that's the concern too, is when you have something drop so early. I mean, cause you're talking about a month out from when it'll drop on Netflix. And I haven't seen people like spoiling the ending or anything like that. So fingers crossed, I didn't jinx myself and I'll go on Twitter today and see like the ending revealed. But I feel like that's the nice thing is like people have been respectful of like, okay, well, we went and saw it, but let's not ruin it for everybody else. And so props to the Glass Onion fans for not spoiling everything. All right, before we wrap up, of course, we've got to do our monthly must-see pick, which I'm really struggling this month because there's so much I'm excited for, but my pick's probably it has to be The Circle. Yeah. No competition probably when I narrow it down. I've been waiting for this one every single month when they've dropped the release. I'm like looking and like scrolling through and I'm like, wait, nope. And I really did not think we were getting it this year. I just love that show. It's just such a fun watch. Like, they do a really good job of bringing in people that aren't garbage. I love Big Brother, but so many times they get these house guests that it's like, I can't root for, like, I can't enjoy the show as much because of the things they do. And they really do a good job with, like, getting an actually good cast. But my second runner-up would definitely be Emily in Paris. That's the other one I'm really, really excited for, of course. I think that's going to be such a fun watch. And I think everyone should go watch Emily in Paris, catch up before the season drops, and then watch it Christmas weekend.
My pick, it was a toss-up between Firefly Lane and Emily, but I have to go with Emily because I've loved her longer. I feel like a fake fan if I pick Firefly Lane, even though I think everybody should still watch Firefly Lane. I'm just, Emily in Paris is my Game of Thrones. Like, That is my show. That is what I think is the best show on television. I don't really think that. I just say it because I think it's fun to be to exaggerate and make people angry. But yeah, Emily, until the bitter end, she'll be my number one draft pick.
I mean, but to be fair, she is an Emmy nominee, so we can give her
and
that.
And don't forget it.
I know, I remember that just, it'll send me down the rabbit hole, because I remember the hate that show got for its Emmy nomination. I was like, it deserves it. Like, its first season was really fun, and I thought it when you look at some of the other picks, it more than earned its spot that year.
Yeah, and that was fighting for rom-com rights. I'm tired of people hating on rom-coms, and to see her get nominated for Best Comedy Series against whatever else was nominated that year was a huge win. Now, it didn't change much, because shows like this aren't getting more recognition. So that was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, I think. But I mean, I will say it. I think shows like this deserve recognition, because it's, even if they're quote unquote guilty pleasures, they still have value. Just because they're not like the prestige shows doesn't mean that they're bad. It's just they're cornering a different market, and Emily specifically corners her market amazingly.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, as a fan of the superhero genre, I know that
struggle.
That struggle, yes. What's funny is I'm almost certain the year Emily got nominated was the year that Marvel actually got, I think that was the same year maybe WandaVision got nominated in the limited series. I think that was like our 2020 year, where like things were a little bit, like we saw shows get nominated that weren't, maybe. Or was Emily the year before?
You know, now I can't remember what the timing, how the timing shook out, but... But yeah, there was a year where they were like, I don't care, everyone's nominated.
it was the year where the shows that we all love actually got, not that the shows that get nominated like aren't, but it was the shows that everybody was talking, like when you look at the viewership numbers, mm-hmm. they were the shows that people were watching like in the biggest audience waves. And to me, it's like, I feel like we need to see more of those shows, because that's what draws people to the, like, to want to watch the award shows, is to see like, oh, I love this show, will my cast get nominated? And I feel like so many times it's just the same cast, like, again and again. Now, I will say this year's Emmys were, I loved so many surprises. We had Jennifer Coolidge, of course, got her win for The White Lotus, well-deserved. The Abbott cast got nomination, or got wins, and definitely love to see them clean up and take home so many awards, because I was late to that game, but I love that show. I binged through it so quickly once I caught up, which you told me, you were ahead of the game. You told me I'd love it. I dragged my feet like playing catch up on it, and then I binged it so quickly, and now I'm on the struggle of having to wait for the weekly episodes, because I just want to keep like binging them.
I actually think that's the best show on TV. Like, if I'm being serious, Abbott Elementary is the best show on television, quickly followed behind by Emily in Paris.
I mean, you can't go wrong with either of those two shows, in my opinion. So. Before we wrap up, I do want to give a shout out just to some other notable additions coming across December. If you're looking for some alternatives, maybe, you know, outside of the ones we've discussed, we've got Last Chance U, Basketball Season 2, Sonic Prime is coming, 21 Jump Street, the movie, not the show, Love Island USA Season 3 is coming. We've also got a couple of CBS shows. We've got Big Brother Season 10 and 14, which... I don't understand how they're picking some of these seasons.
Those are the Dan seasons.
I was going to say, yep, those are the two Dan seasons.
There's a correlation, but...
Yeah, we've also got The Amazing Race seasons 17 and 31, The Hills season 1 and 2, and then Bullet Train is also coming. While we're talking about Big Brother, just quickly, I have to give a shout out. Can we get the Janelle seasons? Is that a possibility? Netflix, let's get those
Ironically,
seasons.
Ironically... I think The Amazing Race season 31 is Janelle's season. So there's that. Janelle is in 14, though, right? As a coach? Or am I wrong? No,
that's...
Is that season?
I think it might be. Give us the other Janelle seasons, then, is my plea.
Season 14 was good. It had Janelle, Brittany, Dan. Mm-hmm. Was Boogie. Boogie was the other one.
Yeah.
No comment.
Yeah, that one. I still haven't forgiven CBS for Big Brother All-Stars Season 2, how that one went, because
Train wreck.
I did not.
Mess.
Yeah, not a fan. I wonder if we'll ever get like the Circle All Stars or like Too Hot to Handle All Star seasons.
They should just like put everybody from each show into like a, like they do the challenge and they pick like every reality show contestant from like 8 different shows. They should do like a Netflix reality star something. I don't know. I don't have the idea, but there's, it's there.
The challenge Netflix edition. We're just doing that.
Why not?
And on that note, because I can go down the spiral of talking reality TV too long, I will say thank you, Reed, as always, for joining. It's been such a fun conversation. I know we had a lot of favorite shows to talk about, and I always enjoy catching up and getting to talk Netflix with you.
Same.
And with that, that's all we have for today. I hope everyone has a great holiday season, and we will see you in the new year.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.